so we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to say we're very grateful for the privilege you've given us to come together again on this day of commemorating your resurrection from the dead, knowing in this last day you have proven that you are risen from the dead, that you are Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all this, Lord, we realize to a degree, but one day, Lord, we know that we'll know as we're known in the immortal resurrection, Father. But in the meantime, we know that the bride has sufficient to get her into that resurrection and the rapture. And we pray, Lord, we might not fall short of one word, but rather be the fullness of your word at this time and this hour, O God. We just ask you, Lord, to bless us in the service this morning, that everything from here on now, according to your word, Lord, might be according to your word and not be outside your word, Lord, but the word within the framework, Lord, and our thoughts, your thoughts, our understanding, your understanding, Lord, because that's what counts. So help each one of us to glorify your name in this respect and live a life of victory in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to thank everybody for the flowers and for the prayers and your good wishes and attendance upon my wife and her operation. Of course, I'm saying that here because I know that a lot of the flowers and prayers came from the outside, and they'll be getting these tapes. They're very beautiful floral arrangements, so many of them, and my wife was very, very pleased. In fact, the hospital staff was amazed to see so many flowers, and one little nurse of mine, she said, almost looks like a funeral parlor. Well, it's not true. It didn't look like one to me. I thought, this is right. All those lovely flowers. I was especially grateful because it showed appreciation in my wife that she's always been so good to people and always been so thoughtful, and actually so many times I thought just almost outdid herself by working and attending upon people. So many ministers have been in our home, and I thought it was very nice that they did this in respect to her. I appreciate that very, very much. Now, the message this morning is a little message in the title, The Squeeze, and I'm sure you all know exactly where I'm going to preach it, because Brother Brian did not really express himself as he meant to here, and I didn't take exception to it. But you understand that as the not just pastor here, but as a teacher, and I believe that I teach quite correctly, that if anything is said in this pulpit, and I believe that that needs an amendment, that's my job. It isn't a matter of say, well, I love Brian, I'm just going to pass it over. I love Brother Clausen, I'll pass it over. I love a lot of folk, I'll pass it over. That's not the reason we have a pulpit, brother, sister. It's not a fuss between amongst brethren or anything else. We're eating cherry pie. We just kick the pits out, so to speak. But Brother Brian did not mean exactly what came forth. What happened, he did something that no preacher is supposed to do, which is disregard your notes and go down a bypass, hoping you'll come back to where you left off. He meant to explain himself what he told me. Well, you'll notice in the sermon where Brother Branham preached the Who is Melchizedek, he does a good job right along the line of telling us about the Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life, and then he deviates, and he's going to come back, but he never comes back. Now, I've been preaching for about, I don't know how many years you've known me here. I doubt if 5 times I've ever strayed and lost my thought to where I couldn't come back. Now, that's not anything I've got for smarts. That's just the Lord helping me so that as trying to teach, it helps you people. But what he didn't mean to say just what he did say, as far as I can really know and gather from him. So the thought was up there, and like as though there's no squeeze coming. That's not what he meant. Now, look, there was a certain preacher came through here years ago. He used to come through a lot because of certain brethren west of us, either related or something anyway. And he said that the squeeze was over because Brother Branham took the squeeze in Chicago at the ministerial convention. Hogwash. William Branham did not constitute the bride, though he could surely represent her. Now, believe me, if that's all the squeeze you have, or just a bunch of ministers come together to deny that you are right on Godhead, and then stick up your, pull their noses up in the air and walk off in great disdain. Well, hallelujah for the squeeze. I'll take 2,000 more years in good health. So you see, any statement that would just be left hanging in air, I wouldn't buy it, and I won't accept it either. It doesn't matter who it's from. Now, that preacher that came through also had his own evidence of the Holy Ghost, which was Brother Branham's old evidence of being born again, meant you had love. And so he was preaching that thing, and a little friend of mine out there in Tucumcari, Arizona, New Mexico, New Mexico. And he said, Brother Branham did not preach love. He preached the evidence was the believing the word, receiving it for your hour. Well, then the same man talked to me because he knew I had challenged that statement very, very strong when he made the same statements around here. He said, well, you see, Brother Vale, you've got to have your own evidence. Now, where did he get that? And that evidence is supposed to be love. If I love somebody, well, Brother Branham said the Christian science put us to shame. Well, they've got the Holy Ghost and we don't got none. Because we're the miserable ones because we dare to stand with the Word of God. And they say, well, that can't be love. See, this church here believes that if it doesn't start with this Word and ends with this Word, you've got something on your hands that God's not going to respect. It's got to be rooted out of the kingdom, brother and sister. So look, you understand, this thing has been settled, but we're going to just look at some things in the Word of God this morning. Now, before we launch into this subject to squeeze, because we use that term, we must be aware that this word is not found in the Bible, but the word persecution is. And Brother Branham uses that a lot, which you'll find out. Okay, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Now, this is 2 Thessalonians. Now, these two books have to do with the second coming of the Lord, the rapture, and the conditions therein, and so on. So, all right. He says here in that first chapter, 2 Thessalonians, we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, as it is meet, it's proper and right, it's the fitting thing to do, because that your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, see, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, good to state of relaxation, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, it doesn't say the tribulation is going to cease. It just says that this time you're going to a state of relaxation concerning it. Now, there's going to be tribulation. The Bible said, in this word you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in soul. All right. Number two, we must also realize that persecution does not necessarily mean death. Now, let's take a look at that. That kind of frightens people. You say, well, yeah, I could be killed. You certainly could be killed. But doesn't mean you're going to be. See? Now, Brother Brander said, why? Why did he say that? Because the spirit of the cat. Remember, there are four beasts that guarded the throne of grace and mercy. And they're the same four, as they say, guarded the Gospels. And the Acts is a continuation of the Gospels, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who was here in flesh. And this one person said there's not an amen to that book, so it goes on. Well, there's not an amen to other books in the Bible either, so don't just jump at little things like that. Jump at the Word of God where the Word of God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, that's what you're looking at. All right. Now, in the 22nd chapter of Acts, 1-4, men and brethren, the fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am barely a man, which am a Jew born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And he absolutely was proud of the fact that he was the one who caused the death of people in his zeal. Now people say, well, you know, don't you know me anything? The church that's corrupt can do the same thing. The Roman Catholic Church had 68 million martyrs. That's not even counting them, all of them. Doesn't begin to count them. And don't tell me the Protestants got too much either. When Calvin could put Servetus in a place where Servetus died for believing in one God, then what hope do you think we got in the face of a Trinity? And you can't join anything any day without believing in a Trinity. See? So let's begin to wash. Now, it doesn't say here that you got to die. You're persecuted. But it says there's a good chance that you might. Now, let's look at the Apostle Paul and his persecutions and some of his trials and some of the things he went through in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 23 to 27. Are they minister of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death oft. Now, who brought that on? The Jews brought it on. The church where the dove once was and the dove flew. And how do you tell there was once a bunch of doves around there at one time? You look at the manure heap. It's all that's left. So I wouldn't like to compare that to the word. I'm not exactly. Brother Brandon said it was full of wiggletails. Who wants bread full of wiggletails? See, word's gone. It's dead. That word cannot bring forth life. It'll bring forth death. And that dead word will bring forth persecution and death in others, or death to others. It'll bring death in those that believe it and death to others that won't believe it. Now, we've got some pretty strong quotes here, about 30 quotes here, so I'm going to read you. It's not to scare anybody, but the fact of the matter is we've got to understand these things. Of the Jews, five times received that 40 stripes, save one. 39 times five. What's that, 195? Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils of city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils of false prison. Now that tells you some of the things he went through. By the hands of men because they persecuted him, and finally he was persecuted unto death, the same as Peter was. Number three, it is also wise to understand where this comes from. Let's see where it comes from. This gives a token understanding. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, we look at it, 8 to 11. And of the angel, the messenger to a church which is in Smyrna, these things set the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now notice, he's first and last in this day. That's particularly why, because he is the last. And he never changes. So what he is through the ages is said to the churches. You can all pick up the thread. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemous, them that say they are Jews and are not, but are Satan, the synagogue of Satan. Now that's been transferred. Anybody knows that's Babylon, which is now Rome. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast them into prison, that you may be tried. Shall have tribulation 10 days. And be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. So there you are. Persecution has never, ever changed. It's been in all ages. Many have died. Four, also we must be aware that the saints, though persecuted or squeezed, will not go into the great tribulation. Now we tried to put this and show you where it came from, Satan, where Satan's synagogue is, the religion motivated by Rome, which is your great ecumenical society for this hour. So there'll be people who will not escape, evidently. There could well be a possibility of certain ones dying. Okay, they'll be squeezed. But they are not going to go into the great tribulation, as we find in 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. We'll get a little bit of it. And, the first of 13 to 18 is the rapture, which takes place at the time of the resurrection. So he's talking to the living and dead. Now to the living at that time, which is this time, he says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, chapter 5, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord shall cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction upon them, as travail upon the womb of the child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And then down to the ninth verse, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he tells you right there that you will escape the great tribulation. Now, Revelation 12. Beginning in verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now, that's the devil. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent that's called the devil, even Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his messengers, his angels, were cast with him. And I heard a voice in heaven saying, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, Brother Branham absolutely said that Satan comes down as a bride goes up. So that's what you understand then. It's not that the Antichrist spirit is not here, but the incarnation does not come till the bride is gone. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, O inhabitants of the earth, of the sea, for the devil has come down on you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Now, the bride is gone. Now, what is this then? This is the foolish virgin. And when the dragon saw he was cast on the earth, he pursued to the woman which had brought forth the man. Now, they got a child in there, but it doesn't say that. You leave that in, leave it alone. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly unto earth, into her place, where she is nourished for time and time and a half, that's 3.5 years, in the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his waters the flood of the womb, they might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped her, and the earth opened up her mouth to swallow the flood, as the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon wrought the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the foolish virgin gets destroyed. All right. Now, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And this is what we're going to take a scripture reading. And then we're going to take some quotes. We'll look at this chapter. It's a long chapter, but that's all right. This is at our time. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, as the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us when these things shall be. And that's, in other words, the stones are going to be cast down, and so on. And what will be the sign of thy coming, which is a literal presence, at the end of the world, at the end of this age, or the consummation of this age? Now, and Jesus answered and said, Take heed that no man deceive you. Now you notice right in there that though this is not persecution in the more legitimate, outstanding sense or predominant sense, but there has the facets of the persecution in this way, that there is a squeeze coming, which is a spiritual squeeze. Now remember, the squeeze of identification is one of the toughest squeezes there is. It's called peer pressure amongst your children. And it comes every which way, because you're certainly going to be a speckled and odd bird, a very odd fowl, fouled up fowl. Let's face it, if you go this way, you're going to be ostracized. Now this is where one thing comes up instantly. The church will stand with its great love and humanitarian aspect. And remember, the United States has already voted to give the Roman Catholic Church all of its money that it has to do to feed the poor. And of course, some Protestants are invited. Why bother? In other words, our government has already violated the Constitution from one end to the other, and nothing is left. There is nothing left. And there's no use kidding yourself. Otherwise, the prophet could not have passed judgment. And you're not talking about a prophet, you're talking about the judge. But a lot of people can't even see that. That's too bad. All right. Let's watch some of this thing. Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, already they're being deceived by ecumenical love. How can it be love when the Bible condemns it? Now, this great man, not Guinness, my memory's a blank on this one. But you cannot have heard this man. He's now deceased. You could not have read concerning him and his utmost devotion to love. And believe me, there is no way that you could not read what he said and not compare him to the late, great Dr. Drummond way back many, many years ago, who wrote one of the greatest sermons on love ever written. And yet this brother absolutely said the ecumenical move was of God in the greatest move the world's ever seen. So absolutely deceived. And brother said, let me tell you again, you can take the kind of love you've got outside the Word of God, and I can take it, and it's not worth anything but condemnation and filth and judgment and destruction. Because that's all there is to it. Because that love they've got is always the same love. Well, come join us. Come join us. That's why I'm in hot water over the presence. Well, he received God, his baptism in Africa. He found the same thing going over there that's gone over here. We're condemned because we dare to believe a certain thing and stand with it. But if we'd say they're right, then everything's fine. Well, I got news for those brethren. I'm mean enough to die for a principle, but I hope I could do it in the love of Jesus Christ. I didn't say in the Holy Ghost I said I do. I just said I'm mean enough. I shouldn't be mean at all. But my love does not allow me to compromise my soul for a revelation, which I believe is by the Holy Ghost. Now, you got to watch at the end time. There's an internal squeeze. And that's not so bad, but it can be pretty desperate. Because all you got to do is give the devil an inch and he'll fog your mind. He'll really fog it good. It says, many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, to see many. They'll tell you that they have the true anointing. Now remember, the anointing itself is Christ, which is Logos. So therefore, they will tell you and make certain that you know that they have a revelation, and you better have their revelation. And now it says, you'll hear wars and rumors of war. See, you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. Now you're into politics. Church to politics. Nation rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and divers places. Certainly happening. These are but the beginning of sorrows. Now watch. They'll deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now that the Jews have gone through that and do go through it and will go through it. But I'm going to tell you something. That word nation doesn't simply mean great nations all around the world. It can mean clans. It means Gentiles, especially Gentiles. And the Gentiles will hate you. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you stood before the Jew and you said, there is one God, and he is Holy Spirit, the Arabs would listen, the Semites would listen. That's Arabs and Jews both. They'd all listen because they believe in one God. And they'd say, well, you're pretty stupid, but the thing is this, at least you do believe in one God. What do you mean by that fellow called Jesus? Well, we simply believe he was a body. Do you believe God is in the prophets? You got him right there in the Testament. You got him right there in the Old Testament. They also know Messiah would be a prophet. And you know he'd have to be God. There'd be a relationship. You could have that there, but when it comes to this here, you're going to find that we're at the end time where they're going to have to take a definitive stand against the name of Almighty God, baptism, and the unique oneness of the Godhead. Now, they've got their own oneness. But who ever heard that three people was one? Is it a conglomerate? I don't know what they're thinking of, but they do. Now then, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now that's always been the way the church has done. Not the bride, but always the church. And Brother Branham said there's three kinds of people in every church. Every church group. Believer, make believer, and unbeliever. And there's always somebody just too willing to do something. Now it says here there's going to be hatred come in. Now why is there going to be hatred? Well, because it starts up here in the anointing. That's where it starts. Now, at the end time, you got an anointing where the Holy Ghost is upon all flesh. And remember, Pentecost is the last one. And they're called chaff for the burning, and the chaff goes from chaff to tares, which means there's no relationship at all, period. Hear what I'm getting at? The foolish virgin got something, but he's got nothing. They're just going to be burnt. They're called tares. They go right back to a serpent seed. Now remember, when you come to election, you come to bride. Election is nothing but the same piece. It's the one big piece of cloth. And you put the pattern on it and you cut it out. The master tailor cuts it out. Remember, when you come to people, you've got one hunk of clay. And the master craftsman takes this same lump and he said, this is elect and this is non-elect. Vessels of mercy, this is vessels of grace. This is vessel unto glory, this is vessel unto wrath. He can do it. And he does it. Now remember, at the end time, their vessels are wrath fitted to destruction out of one lump. And at the end time, you got this wheat growing up, and they lost their lives under Pentecost, went into the chaff, and when we said, I and my Father one, the chaff released us and became a tear. A true identification. Then how many foolish virgins are left? Who knows? That's up to God. We're talking about this piece of cloth. So the master craftsman, God cuts off the cloth which is elect, the less it, and that's your foolish virgin left over. They're identical. But one's not in the election. And the other is. How do you figure it out? I don't figure all these things. I just believe it because that's the way it is. I got no argument. Very simple, actually, I think. Now, because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Love of what? There's a great danger to the love of thee many. They won't be fervent the way the rest of them are. And there's going to now this other great love they got is not love at all. It's a hatred of God's word because they got him put outside the church. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world's witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Brother Brand said he went around the world 7 times. I don't believe the whole world. Everybody's got to hear this gospel anymore. And the Bible said it said all Jerusalem went out to hear him. Do you mean 500,000 people all went to hear Jesus? No, they didn't jam the streets. They couldn't have got out of here without bullhorns and things like that. And they wouldn't have gotten, even that wouldn't have done any good. So if you could use the word all, it's just symbolic. It's cutting across everything, every type, every type, and every caste, every type of character, and so on. When you therefore see the abomination of things spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. You're getting that's of course the Mosque of Omar right there. And that's just not the Mosque of Omar. That's going to be a desecration. Let them which be in Judea flee the mountains, and him in the housetop not come down, and so on. In there, you get what the Jews went through, and you get a picture of what is also to come. In verse 21, then shall be great tribulation, such as not seen since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now, that couldn't happen back just there in 70 A.D. So there wouldn't be anything greater, because at that time all the blood from Abel to Zechariah the priest, they had to account for, right up to the blood of Jesus. But this, at the end, is when all the blood of all the martyrs from Abel to the very end, and you got 68 million. There's one group in there. You couldn't find that in Israel. Could Israel altogether ever have 68 million people? It's possible, I suppose, maybe. You count the Khazars. I'm talking about true Israel. I doubt if they'd ever have 68 million. Now it says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay? Wonder if we just might go back to the book of Revelation. I want you to see something here. And it's the under the fifth seal and the sixth chapter. Verse 9, he opened the fifth seal and saw the all the souls of them were slain for the word of God, for the testimonies they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it said unto them, they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, what are you looking at here? You're looking at the fact that Brother Branham is under the fifth seal. The 144,000 would die and join these. Now that's you'll find on the tapes. Okay. Now it says, except those days be shortened, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Now what does the elect care 2 bits if all the rest are going to die according to what God said and they got to die? I'm not being callous when I say, what do they care 2 bits? I'm just telling you the fact that you haven't got a thought in this and I don't have a thought in this. It's the very thing that Paul said about election. Just hold your finger there and let's go back to 2 Thessalonians. I want to show you something. A lot of people don't like this. Oh, why, you're just, oh man, you're terrible to believe this. Now it says that in verse 12 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, they'll believe strong delusion, they'll believe lying. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved, brethren, beloved Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and believing the truth. Now it says you're bound to give thanks to God because of election. You're bound to give thanks because God said, I'll take this and leave that. Amen. You're bound to give thanks because God said, you're elect and this is not elect. You're bound to give thanks because this is under glory, this is under wrath. You're bound to give elect because God loves Esau, Jacob, and hated Esau. Amen. Or the church says, horror is horror, then you're out. Amen. It shows what your love is.
If you got to make God a liar and some kind of a fool to satisfy your whim, your love is what? Prostitute to the word of Almighty God. Face it. Let's not play any little stupid antics here. Let's get right down to brass tacks. All right. And let's go back to Matthew 24 that's looking at. Souls under the altar we saw back there in chapter 5. All right. He says here, except those days be shortened. No flesh say, the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. So therefore, I'm reading into this here an understanding that elect are going to be saved. Now, if none of them are saved in the 3.5 years, there's what kind of pressure is going to be on this side, or the possibility of some sort of a pressure. It'll be terrible. I don't know if Brother Branham said this on the tape or not, but he understood he said it to somebody, but so you can't always take what you hear from somebody else. But he's supposed to have said that he didn't dare tell the people what he saw in some instances, I think under the sixth seal, what it would do to them. And I think it is on tape where he said it would make them too nervous to know. But some of the things he saw on this side would be at this side of the sixth seal. But he also evidently left out some glorious things according to my understanding of what Billy Paul said. But I'm not sure about this. I can't remember Billy's words on it. There are some tremendous things that Brother Branham did not tell us that he saw by vision, which is very wonderful. They'll come anyway. Now then it says, now it says right here, and Brother Branham identified us with this next verse. Even as it says back here in verse 5, or verse 4, take heed no man deceive you. Many come by name saying, I'm Christ, to see many. Then if any man shall say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. Now the point is this. It says, if any man say, and he's talking about the pressure of a false anointing, and the anointed people who are manifesting gifts but don't have the reality, merely have a gift. See? Now, the Pentecost substituted the gift for the giver many, 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 many years ago. Amen. That's where they went to chat. Now, they've gone to tares. Why have they gone to tares? Well, because some of their people have already called Brother Branham of the devil, or the spirit of the devil. And I can tell you one thing. If you really want to know the truth about it, you ask the Pentecostals. Do you believe in election? Do you believe that God surely did foreknow? That God absolutely did this? And the best answer to you, well, maybe in some cases, but not overall. They've already joined the Roman Catholic Church because it said, if any man believes, he knows that God is sure he didn't predestinate him, something like that. Let him be anathema, let him be cursed. The Roman Catholic Church has got his curse upon this. Roman Catholic Church definitely has. The Roman Catholic Church also believes, like St. Augustine said, if God pulled down Paul in his ragings against him, then how much more can the Catholic Church pull you down if we rage against it? Now, if they change that, that's fine. What are they going to change it to? They can say, well, you simply don't eat, you don't do this, you don't do that. But you can't, well, just, why, well, we're here to help you, my brother and my sister, but come in and join our ranks, Trinitarians, this and that. Now, you're going to have a spiritual pressure, you're going to have a political pressure, you're going to have an absolute powerful pressure, like of a militancy. But there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, even if that's what they are, showing great signs and wonders, insomuch as possible they shall deceive the very elect. Wherefore I told you before, chapter 7, wherefore they say to you, behold, in the desert, go not forth, in the secret chamber, believe it not. In other words, they come to you with an unidentified revelation. William Branham had thus saith the Lord, it was identified. See? Now these guys will come with miracles, signs, and wonders, but not Deuteronomy 18. Not Numbers 12. Not William Branham had. Now let's face it, this is going to drag on for some time yet because the World Council hasn't showed his hands and there's no pressure yet. We can still baptize in a church that'll 10-1 go World Council, not World Council already. Now things are that soft, as I say, if this is a squeeze, give me 2,000 years in good health. I wouldn't want 2,000 years even with good health. Now it says, lightning comes out of thee and shines away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now what's he telling you? They're going to say, here, look at this. But remember, it's not that way. The light rose in the east, it sets in the west. The same Holy Ghost that revealed is here doing it again. Here you're getting the true from the false. And remember, before there's a false, there's got to be an original. No counterfeit without an original, or the counterfeit is the original. Then from then on, everything is real. Can't happen. Well, we look at the sermons we took from Brother Branham's messages here. The way of a true prophet, Amos, my tie right down the line, the third Exodus. Oh, we just took time and wove a whole flock of them in. See, showing the vindication. Wherever the carcass is, eagles be gathered. The bride going to come together. And the other company, the false bride go together there. And then it says, let's skip a ways. 37, but as the days of Noah were, they were there, and the coming of the presence of the Son of Man, they were eating and drinking and buying and giving in marriage, and so on. The world was doing it. Doesn't say the bride's doing it. I'm not saying she's forming her own corporation. But there's a lot of things here. Now she's tucked in the ark. Knew not the flood came. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. At that time of the presence. Two will be at field, one taken, one left. That's the message. It's separating them. See? They don't know what hour your Lord's coming. But know this, the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come. He would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now it tells you in all this time here, there's going to be a reality as well as a wrong. And that which is false, based upon a reality, a counterfeit, is going to be overwhelming to the people. See? Now remember, Brother Branham said that Luther looked for this, Wesley looked, and people always look for this end time, which is restoration. They look for that great thing, and that great thing was the Son of Man in our midst. The very ministry shown, the very message. The Lord himself had descended with a shout. I can't understand people say they believe this message and cannot apprehend it just like that. I don't understand. What do they think this is all about? See? When was Judas here? At the time Jesus was here. When will Judas be here again? Now remember, Jesus does not come in the flesh. It's going to be a spiritual. When is the spiritual Judas? Right at this time here. Brother Branham had his own personal Judas, by the way. It wasn't hard to read between the lines, let you know exactly who he's talking about. But the Lord said, let them alone, they'll destroy themselves. Okay. Said in the 50th verse, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day, shall have come, shall be already here, when he's not looking for an hour that he's not aware of. I want you to show me that refers to the little second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not come down upon earth. What's he talking about this hour here? When the Lord himself has already descended with the shout. Brother Brand said, I was not the one that appeared in the rear. I was only there standing there when he appeared. All right. Now, so we're looking at the picture here. That there definitely is a problem at the end time. And the squeeze is not limited only to the spurious spiritual which is amongst us. And we have them coming around like this man that said Brother Branham told him that he was a missionary. Go overseas. He said, you got an pen in your speech? And he said, yeah, you go overseas. How could Brother Branham tell a man to go overseas and preach through an interpreter if the people over here can't understand him? Doesn't sound too good to me. Unless you get someone who can understand you very well, then put it across the people. I've heard those things very distinctly contrary. The same man said Brother Branham made a mistake. And why is he preaching? He's back in latter rain. Doesn't know it. You know, I'm going to tell you, Brother Branham categorically told me, and it's not in the tape, he said, Lee, the closest to this message is latter rain. And they missed it. And I think you can find it on the tape, actually. Now, I'm going to tell you, years ago, a certain man that I used to associate with, and didn't associate now for many years because we couldn't track together. He said, you know, my life is pretty shoddy, but his was even more so. So you can just kind of figure what a rough situation that was. One day he stood in the pulpit and he said, you know, this latter rain bunch, I don't understand him. He said, they got Jesus coming down, going up, coming down, going up, coming down. He said, like on a yoga. And he threw a bunch of things like this and threw the paper. And said, we said, who knows what they believe? They don't know themselves. And they had caught something about the rapture. The Lord himself shall descend with the shout. The Lord himself shall descend with a voice. The Lord himself shall descend with a trumpet. And it sounded like he's coming down, going up, coming down, going up, coming down, going up. They had caught something. Let me tell you something. People aren't dumb when it comes to spiritual things because they got the best next advisor next to God. That's the old spirit of hell himself. Yeah. And he knows so many things because he's been here a long, long time. And he knows that God always goes true to form. So he's the great deceiver. And he deceived that bunch and they came very close And then out of Brother Branham's ministry came that latter-rain deal. Then out of it then came that apostolic junk. That apostolic junk was pulled back time in the days of Drummond. Who was the other guy? I forget it. I'll get it later on. A Darby. Way back in there. When they said, when a voice told them, why, you've got everything, but remember back in the old days, when they started that church, they had apostles. Now dedicate apostles. How in the world can you dedicate a bunch of apostles and put the clock of God on order?
Amen.
Merciful God, when did man have a job? Nothing but Roman Catholicism. And they got the same bunch going right today. You talk to them. Oh, they can talk pretty nice, all right, but they're just as full of sin as a can is. It's full of worms. Or hunk of carrion. Check it out. See? What do we got at this day? Subtlety. You don't have any tripe like that. You can see right through it. the subtlety of the enemies amongst us. All right, listen. We're going to read about the persecution. I want to get you out of here. We are coming into religious persecution just like in pagan Rome. Thus saith the Lord. All right? If you think it's over... Now, remember, Brian didn't say it was over. But neither did he really mean to say there's really nothing to look forward to. But neither did any time that I preach a scare message to you people either. You really needed to have something come along and try to take the pressure. I'm going to tell you this. We don't even know what pressure is at this point. Let's get that flat. We're going through a lot of internal turmoil. You bet we are. You know why? Because we don't fall for this other stuff. We've already bypassed in the elemental sense, a basic sense, not perhaps the real refined sense of being food. There are a lot of folk among us still get food. Anything come along, sounds good, they'll fall for it. Oh, I don't understand people say they believe this. I don't know what message you're talking about. Now that great gift, others I've tried to explain. Say how it was done. Just wait. Now he's talking about that third pole. It will not be in operation perfectly now. Wait until that council of churches brings on the persecution. That's when it'll happen. He said that in 64. Now I want to ask you a question. How far has ecumenism got to this hour? Turn over. Not very much. The government's just listening to the church now, so and the government listens to those people, so when the squeeze comes, it'll be really a good one. Brother, one day when the persecution comes, you'll see the great ransom church of God will stick together like that. Stone will go to stone. You'll forget whether you're Methodist, Baptist, or whether you're whoever you are when the persecution rises and communism shuts down. The church of God will run together stone by stone. Your little differences will be forgotten then. You just watch the wave of sin now as it will be plumbed to the core. You watch the modernistic, ungodly things that will take place in the churches and finally there'll come a persecution. The Bible says so. That's thus saith the Lord. Now, in Jezebel religion, which is taken from Brother Branham, of course, not just there, but other places. He mentioned to watch particularly how women do. And I'm going to tell you, nobody needs to be blind, deaf, and dumb, but I'll say this. It grieves me when I watch women with their shoes, because Brother Branham was grieved, and I watch as they use eyeshadow and these things that they should not be using. Remember, Jezebel painted her eyes, not her face. Now, it is a type. I don't see you're going to go to hell for those things, although when Brother Branham talked about the shoes, it was very, very risky, because evidently... The cut hair and those things go together. You'll never be bride. You'll never make it. Now look, what kind of family do you want anyway? I say, well, kids say, well, look, I'm going to listen to my parents. Your parents don't want to hurt you. Let's get this back. I don't want to hurt you. Because look, what you do, as I've said before, you're on your own. I don't ride hurting anybody. But I'm going to tell you this. What if your spirit is wrong? Or you come to church and stop somebody from being healed. Or something happened. What if one day it hits your family, your mother, your father dying of cancer? Oh, you'll get that crud off your face in a hurry. It'll be too late then. Now, I'm not rough on people. I'm just trying to tell you something here. Kindness out of my heart. Because look, whatever you do is your business. It'll soon be a one-to-one. But you see, these things are in the church, brother, sister. And they must not be there because God does not want them. So we just want to bring it in here because it's a good opportunity to show you these things. Now, please... Be on your guard. See? All right. With this great power, the church system will persecute the true bride. This image will try to keep the bride from preaching and teaching. O little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. They'll have tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, spiritual, satanical power. They'll seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She'll suffer, but she will endure. The mere association of kind-hearted people with a true believer might well bring death in return for their kindnesses. Now, this is taken from the book I wrote for Brother Branham. Those quotes right there. And he went over all those quotes, and they're taken from what he said in various sermons. See, they're just put in a little different language. According to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. We have to suffer to reign. Now remember, the suffering at the end time, there'll be suffering. Now what is that suffering going to entail? Like I started quite a while back and told you about those four beasts that were got in the book of Acts and the Gospels. Now way back there was first of all the lion, secondly was the beast, the cat, and that was suffering. Now at the end time, it's the eagle. Now remember, the face of the man goes to the eagle. So therefore, what you're going to have here, the residue of the word goes into a suffering. So that little word comes up under suffering, and even greater suffering. Now it comes under mankind. So you got word, the suffering under mankind. Now you got it coming up here under the eagle. Now you see, each one thwarts the other. The church tries to destroy it. So now you've got all those faces in there, they resolve in an eagle. So what's going to bring on the great persecution? The unadulterated word of God. So the persecution has to be amongst us, the squeeze, and it's got to be out there. And let me tell you one thing. Satan doesn't give a rip if there's 6 people to get or 14,000 to get. See? Remember, the 3 Hebrew children had a real rough time. I don't know there's any record of the rest having a tough time. But no doubt they had some kind of a time. Now, you cannot reign without suffering. So therefore, I'm trying to show you there's going to be a suffering at the end time. And as Brother Branham said, as it was under pagan Rome, that was death. Then, the folly of Constantine. Then it went to the Church of Rome in death. See? So you've got it. Who knows what's all going to happen? I don't know. I believe, brethren, there's coming an hour that when a real rank persecution will run us together, then we'll be one. The church shall come together. I believe it's all in the making of God. After a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. Now, how much that really signifies? It cannot signify great miracles and great things that people got their eyes on that's coming under Israel. But this has to do with the spoken word's original seed. Where they have the word of God, and they won't say it unless they have the right to say it by Almighty God. They have the word and know what to do with it. Now, whatever it entails, we don't know. Okay. Every time the Lord uses those words, fear not, there's an engagement of hand which will involve great danger and suffering and deprivation. Don't be afraid of man or what he can do to you. I am with you, and my grace is sufficient for you. When you pass through the waters, they will not overflow you. Not even in death are you defeated. You're more than conquerors. Now, we know that's the truth. The spiritual mind can look down in Egypt and see that persecution rise, can see Joseph taken away in order that the persecution could rise. Now, does that mean Brother Branham or Joseph? I have the least idea. Could it mean we're not in touch with the pillar of fire, not having a prophet, but he's here to take us and let him? I don't know. But there's trouble ahead. I believe one of these glorious days when the United Confederation of Churches goes together and the new pope is brought out of the United States. Wouldn't he come out of the United States? See? People say, I don't know that he's going to. I know that he's going to. If you can read the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation and not see a pope come out of America, you're reading a different book than I read. I mean, that's just the way it stands. So you do what you want with what you read. I'll do with what I want with what I read. Of course, I'll preach it up here, and you can do what you want with it. according to prophecy, and then they'll form an image like to the beast, and I tell you, the true church of God will be driven together. And they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon or shut up all the churches. You can see that. Churches like this, who's not denomination, they'll use them for storehouses. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that doesn't belong to the ecumenical movement, he's shot in the spot. That was already known way back in the days when a Lutheran had the head of it. They say, what do you? Well, you shoot him. Now, you know, for years and years in the Evangelical Society, I think it was under Dr. Taylor at that time, fought this where the federal government was demanding that anybody that builds a church must have it right in the deed where that church is going to be given, where is it going to be given if that church ever goes out of existence. And they say, well, we didn't want to hang around like some old churches out there. Listen, if you're a lot of old churches out there, they'd be snapped up like that. They've laid the groundwork that the lawyers can twist any way they want to take you over. Well, they say, you're not a church, so get out of here. Don't make any difference what they say. That church will stand true in that time. She's already proved it back yonder. She'll do it again. See those four faces coming up. In the face of everything, it's the Word of God. She's going to be there with a spot or wrinkle. That's right. She'll stand there. Now, that's in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I'll be so glad when you all get the other side, won't you? And it's all over with. Now, if you're not the seed of Abraham tonight, come. Someday God's going to drive us all together. He'll have to make, you know, the bride. That was the base of fellowship in Los Angeles. I believe someday the real bride of Christ will be forced to stop preaching the Word. The Bible prophesies in Revelation 13:16, denomination forced it to stop or take its mark. Then when the Lamb will take his bride and judge the whore for this. Now, evidently right there, they're going to have great power before the bride gets out of here. That's the spoken words, original seed, where Brother Branham had the handwriting from God. All right. Why Joseph was taken away, he was taken in order that the persecution could rise. Again, I say with that Brother Branham, who knows. You mark it down. You watch through the Confederate. It could also be the last president before John Kennedy. Now, I know people say, well, what about this man named Reagan? Now, Reagan's a fine man, nothing against him. But he might as well be Roman Catholic because he's the one that sent an embassy over and said, let him get over there. He's the guy that really brought the thing to a head. You know, these Protestants, they're Roman Catholics. You've got a Trinity baptism. You're Roman Catholic. Don't try to tell me you're not because you aren't. And the Roman Catholics know they own you. Let's face it. Go and talk to them. You mark it down. You watch through the Confederation of Churches and Catholic Unite together and watch it take place. People who follow the pillar of fire will certainly have a rough time. Well, the Pope hasn't come out yet. The Confederation hasn't hit us. Have either Brother Branham made a mistake or that's going to come? Now he said to follow the pillar of fire. Then is the pillar of fire still here? Is he gone? Did he come down, up, down, up, down, up, yo-yo? You show me. Now it says the Lord will descend. It meant at that time he hadn't descended. Then when did the will come past? He said it came now. Because he said we got a shout, which is the message. I told you that's the point that threw me. I said, when was he ever wrong? That time wrong, everything was in the course of God, of course, and that's what's wonderful since then. There he said, people who follow the pillar of fire certainly have a rough time, but they're ready for the translation at that time. That's right, just ready to go. I hear the coming of the combine, the World Council. She's separated. What does she do? Shake her off the stock. But she's got an elevator waiting for her. She, bride, will go home one of these mornings. With all the might of organization, the false church turns from any vestige of truth and sets out to eradicate forever the true believer. But just when she's about to accomplish her cowardly plot, the wheat is gathered in the garner. Certainly that's right. It's your fifth seal, see? It's not like the fifth seal there. The fifth seal, they got it out, but the bride gets out of here. Any image, form, or religion, get away from it. God will stand by you. He'll take the heat out of persecution. He'll take the life out of a cancer. He will do anything. He is God. If you will stand by him, he will stand by you. He proves his word thus true every time. He took the heat out of the blaze, stopped the lion's mouth, and so forth. Now, what's he doing? He's telling you that all those things can happen, that God is going to have a bride, that he's going to get out of here, and she's not going to die. Now, there may be a lot to do that. Some die of old age, some die of sickness, some die of this, some die of that. Who knows? But there's a possibility of death. Who knows? I don't know. God's people do not only work with him in the labor of love, but they suffer with him for him with joy. They are patient in bearing the yoke. I think we ought to stop here and deal with the thought that God's people have always been and always will be persecuted. The children of the world controlled by the devil hate the children of God who are controlled by the Spirit. No matter how just and upright a Christian is before the public, how gracious he is to his fellow man, doing naught but good, let him confess Christ as his Savior and acknowledge the operation and gifts of the Holy Spirit in tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles, and he'll be condemned. Especially if he puts them in order, see? The spirit of the world hates the Spirit of God, and because they can't overcome the Spirit of the Lord, it tries to destroy the vessel in whom the Spirit of truth dwells. Now, he's always done that. Why do you think they killed John the Baptist? See? Because he came against Herodias. Came against a whole bunch of them. Persecution and trials are a natural, normal part of the Christian life. There's only one thing you can do about them. Commit them all to God. Judge not, leave their outworking and final judgment to him. Be thou faithful unto death. He doesn't say be faithful unto death, but unto death. You may have to see your testimony to your blood. The supreme faithful gives supreme grace for the supreme hour. The harvesting combine is coming to beat the wheat out. Do you want to be wheat? Then you got to get beaten. See? That's also what it says in the book of Isaiah. There's trouble in the making. There's trouble in the way making, friends. In other words, he's telling you there's trouble is making on its way right now. It ain't going to be long. Trouble striking you striking. You know that. That's in the token. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together, but he will. Just trust him. He knows how to send the persecution that'll run us together. Now that's not, you can't take that like and say, well, that splits among us and it puts us in groups, because that could also be clicking and clanning, which you may talk about some little form, I don't know. The image of the beast will cause a persecution against the saints. Soon there's going to form up a confederation of churches, which will be the image to the beast. And he'll have the same power in this nation, Revelation 13:11, that they had over there, and will cause a persecution upon the saints, just like it did at the beginning of the Church of Rome. See, that's where it's heading right now, and that's why the world's being sowed right now everywhere. Stay away from it. Get out of it, see. Now remember positively that first persecution came under when Junius and what was the other person? I forget. There are two Jews that started the work in Rome, and it was definitely a Pentecostal or a day of Pentecost type of work. They had the baptism with the Holy Ghost. They had evidences and all those things which you're reading for that hour. The emperor, I forget who it was, whoever that first, maybe AD 55, where that was in there. I don't think it was Nero. My memory's not good. I'd have to check it out for you. He absolutely abolished all the Jews. And when he abolished the Jews, the teaching ministry and the true ministry left. The word went. See? And that's where it started. And so the persecution started right in the very beginning. Now, Brother Branham takes you back to that time. Then what happened? The world took over because Constantine said, hey, he said, we better join these fellows up and they're nice people. And Constantine wasn't much of a Christian. He just took a name. His history doesn't bear it out, see. So you got to watch these things. Okay, but first thing you know, they'll try to stop all this. Okay, Brother Brand is talking about his ministry now. They'll try to quit praying for the sick and put a ban on it. Just remember, there's articles right now in the paper branding everything as false. They catch some guy that's a phony, so everybody's a phony. You know. And even if the guy isn't a phone, they'll get him. Oh, come on, you know that. Who's got their government sewed up? The lawyers. Who's got human government sympathy sewed up? The doctors. And the preachers will play footsie with a whole bunch of them. Because they're a bunch of cowards anyway. They're not sheep herders, they're sheep stealers and God knows what. You know. Okay. They just remember that when persecution rises, the church comes to its very height. There's many sitting here, I believe, that will stand a horrible persecution for their faith before it is sealed away. That's a quote from the prophet. The crucifixion of the free interdenomination is at hand, and the beast is Rome. They have formed a council, head image to the beast. The time coming when you're either going to put your organization into the World Council of Churches. If you do that, you take the image of the beast, because you got a power just like it was in Rome. And if you don't do it, you'll be individually independent church. And then you do, the image of the beast is going to close your doors, and you're going to be forbidden, and you're going to need a conference. It's a conference with God. You get really close to God. But we've one of the most dreadful times to go through that ever laid before human beings. Now that's, we're going to be taking that one pretty soon. Christ revealing his own word. I'll be getting that pretty soon to study with you. Then there's coming a persecution upon all those who won't unite with the World Council of Churches. When the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light. He said he'd catch his people away. Shall not go through the tribulation. He preached that man can turn on the light. The image of the beast will raise up against the real church of God under their those denominations. Will plague this thing. But when they start to do it, the Lamb shall take his bride to be ever at his side. Feast of the trumpets. Then what do? They finally form up the image under the beast, another power, and act to the Lamb's bride like she did in Revelation 13:14. That's what they do. Persecute, just the same thing. That's under the seals. And in this day, remember, the hour will soon arrive where we can't have these meetings, and you've got to do it now while we've got time to do it. We don't know what time they'll stop this. Now, that's just a bunch of quotes. I use Jack Palmer's nuggets to save me a lot of looking up. Now, remember, these are out of context, but they do bring forth a point that there is a very serious time coming upon earth, and we must be ready for that time, or it could be bad for us. Now, we're going to go to the 27th Psalm, where Brother Branham took his reference for the rapture. And then we'll be finished. And he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me, eat at my flesh, they stumble and fail. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. Now, remember that tent vision brother had. Now, this has nothing to do with it, as far as I know. But that word tent in the Greek can be a pavilion. See? In the secret of his tabernacle should he hide me. He'll set me upon a rock. In other words, it could well be that no matter what comes, and it is true, not just well be, but it is true, that the bride is fully ready for anything that comes upon this earth. If she's ready for a rapture, believe me, she's ready for persecution. Now, persecution, as I say, always comes, starting right around us, and as we're getting a squeeze at this point. And you'll see more and more of it. There's no two ways about it. Now then, he says here, set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies, round about me. Therefore I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing praise unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now remember, the face of Christ is visible to this hour in the Revelation. And it's from that where you get that, like the atomic energy effect, the life effect, begin moving. The greatest life there is. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies. For a false witness has arisen against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I'd fingered as I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's it right today. People are getting tired of waiting. You're going to find people go more and more and back to the Word. That's why if you've got video recorders, a cassette, and you've got the monitors, don't hook them up to TV. Stay away from that stuff. Get away from the TV. And be very careful what your family sees. And if you get films, if there's some way to edit out certain words and certain things, I would edit it out. But be very, very careful. Because all those things can be a trap to you. They're fine as long as you're on all those things. I don't mind. There's other churches that are getting rid of them. They're getting scared. I'm not scared of those things at all. Now, look, I don't know where I'd hurt anybody. You don't come into my bedroom, I don't go into yours. You look under my bed, I look under yours. I don't sneak in your closet and see what you're wearing or not wearing. You don't come into mine. Look, you're either a Christian or not a Christian, pure and simple. You'll be tempted. You'll be tried. You'll do things you shouldn't do. You can regret them. You'll repent. And you'll seek your heart. What it says here, seek the face of the Lord. But you won't be fainting. You won't say, well, look, Brother Brand's been gone for going on 21 years. He said it could be 25 years, 100 years, maybe yet tomorrow. I knew it couldn't be tomorrow. There's no way. Couldn't be in 77. Can't be right tomorrow morning either, unless there's an ecumenical thing we don't know about. Now, the table, everything is right here, but once they pull the cover off, then you can see it all. But look, brother, sister, he said the cover's got to come off. He said a pope's got to come out of America. Brother Brand said a lot of things. We just stand on it. We don't understand a lot. We stand on it. Why? Because we saw a vindicated man. And I don't believe a vindicated man would try to do something like that. He'd lost his vindication in one big hurry. Because God doesn't deal with liars as though he's going to use liars and garbage tins and this and that. You show me a man that wasn't a real man of God. That God used, prophet and this and that, brother, sister. They're great people. And I know they're very fallible. I know their lives wouldn't come up to Christ. But if anybody's life come up to Christ, then who'd need Christ? Why, you'd just bump him out of his office right there. Well, here's a man never. Why, since he's been born again, he hasn't done one thing wrong. Oh, then you bump Jesus out of his office. He can't be your high priest. He can't be your mediator. Your intercessor, rather. Oh, come on. You listen, let's get this flat. There's no perfection this side of the resurrection. And who knows what that's going to be. There might be some types of growth we never heard of. We're longing now for something crying inside of us. See? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. And Brother Brown has succinctly said what? Lie in the presence of the Son. You're right. Keep looking at him. Get into the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, into the fourth, where there's a ministry that's going to change you. Where Brother Branham said categorically, when you receive the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. These are things, brother and sister, the world doesn't understand that we stand for, but we stand for them, we believe them. So certainly there's something coming. I don't know what it is, but I don't look at it and worry about it. In fact, I'm kind of concerned that I don't think more about it. But the possibility, from what I read, is more than the possibility. There's something coming. Now, we've been going through things right now. But I say this, if we can't stand where it's going amongst us and around about us, how are we going to start when the real pressure comes down? See? So there's just pressures everywhere. But as we draw near to the Lord and realize He is with us, the pillar of fire is here to lead us to the millennium. That same God that brought the shout is here to raise the dead, is here to summon us and take us up with Him, where He will be incarnated, reincarnated. We'll crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we'll know as we've never known before. We know great deals now, but we'll know greater. And perhaps it will take persecution. I use the word perhaps because I don't want to put persecution ahead of the Spirit of God. You need to take the Spirit of God to give revelation. But if it takes persecution to hammer it in, like He said, bring stone to stone, then that's what it's got to be. That's what it's got to be. And if we're not bride, there's a bride up there somewhere. You just got to bring it down to that, brother, sister. You got to bring it down to sovereignty all the way. So I do believe in a squeeze, and I don't believe in a squeeze to the extent that I'm going to stand around, you know, nervous. And my nerves don't come from that, don't worry. You're born with certain things. Your nature's there. But you know how it is. Certain things go with certain things. We're certain people, so certain things go with it. And we just ought to love each other and to pray. And that love, I believe, has got to come from this word. And there is a word the prophet said. There is a persecution. There is a squeeze coming down. And he said, I'm the third foolish. I won't read this, the quotes on that. He said, you watch. He said, it's been thoroughly vindicated, thoroughly proven. But you wait till the squeeze come down and then watch it. What does that mean? I don't know. Except to take it back to what he said, God gave him. The bride will have the word and know what to do with it. And she'll have thus said the Lord. Not like a prophet said, but it will have been thus said the Lord, because surely it came to pass. So the whole thing lines up today in a great grasp of assurance of Almighty God. Whatever comes, remember one thing. The bride will be seen through. He will lose none. He's not content to put in His book, a Lamb's Book of Life, maybe so many million a bride, and then say, well, hey, this is a pretty good record. We got 599,000 out of the 600,000. We'll just drop this 1,000 off. We don't care if they don't make it. Do you think God will do anything like that? He won't do that now either. He's got 144 Jews just lined up like that. He's not going to lose one of those. And he won't say, well, you know, we just, something happened, we just lost one. Or, hey, we got 6 or 7 extra. Hey, that makes up for the bunch we didn't get over here. You think God does that? Come on, brother, sister. He doesn't do foolish things like that. Not our God. Let's rise at this time. No service on Wednesday, remember. 7 o'clock next Saturday. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, again we love You. I want to thank You for Your goodness and mercy to us, Lord. And we realize, Lord, we read many things that the prophet said, and we've taken them out of context in the sense we just read them as quotes, but we know that they're in there, always under the thought of the churches coming together, always going to bring a persecution, always going to try to destroy Your great and wonderful name and bring to nothing Your Holy Spirit. They're just trying to stand in Your stead, Lord. Right down the line, they're just trying to work everything out as though the church is God. And Lord, we know where that came from, but we realize it's all over the place, and we don't want to point our fingers at the Church of Rome and say, well, the Protestants are great. We know, Lord, it's just like the Democrats and the Republicans. There's not one speck of difference. It's in the people themselves. God in heaven, we got to vote the man. We're voting Christ Jesus today, not a church. And not this and not that, Father. We put our faith in Him. And You Yourself, Lord, are here to take us up to Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we know so many things we just can't differentiate and separate. And Father, we're not even going to try to do it. We just know it's all of God. And if we are one with You, we can say, I and my Father are one. That's going to do it, Lord, if it's been done according to the Spirit of truth, which means we're truly Yours and the Holy Ghost bears witness. And Father, we thank You for all this. Again, thank You for Your love and mercy, Your kindness, Your goodness and grace, and all these wonderful things You bestow upon us. We thank You, Lord, we just have come together to just look at Your word a little bit and believe somehow that You've helped us and will continue to help us. And going on, and Lord, until one day it's come up higher. So, Father, we just give ourselves to You, we pray, and we know we haven't done it as You give Yourself to us, but Father, help us along to just be a little more and more that way, because after all, You're God and we're not. We know that, Lord. That we're just flesh, Father. We're dust, we're clay. And consider us, Father, and we know You do. We appreciate that so much that you took it upon yourself to become mankind. You've become flesh and die, so that we could literally say that God died and rose again. I don't understand it. We know it's true, Lord. We know it's because your word says so. We can't understand these mysteries, but we certainly are thankful for them. We don't understand a lot of these things, Lord, but we praise you that we do believe them. And so, Lord, today we believe this, that no matter what comes upon this earth, and there's going to be something coming, Lord, we recognize that something's already here. That you've seen us this far, you'll see us all the way. And you'll lose none of us. So unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Now don't forget the baptismal service, and we've got about an hour and 45 minutes or so. If you just leave right now, you'll be able to get there quite easily. So take the name of Jesus with you.